Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. Echo the words of Andy. It's a blessing to be with all the brethren here in the church. We feel very undeserving to be a part of all of you here. I want to just thank everyone here at the beginning for all your prayers, all your love and support during the birth of Annika. It was really overwhelming. We appreciate that very much. Maybe we can open with a word of prayer here. Father in heaven, we humbly come before thy presence and before thy throne. Thou art the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the God of the world, the one who created us, who gives us life and breath, who determines whether or not we walk out of this service, and who wants to meet us here today, and we thank thee for this, Father. Thy word says, in the presence of two or three, where they are gathered in thy name, there you are in the midst of them. We thank thee, Father, that you desire to meet us here today. Father, help my stammering lips, help my thoughts that just seem to be all over this morning, all over the place. And just pray, Father, that everything that would be done in the service today would be directed by thy almighty hand. It is not of us, it is of thee on high. Thou art worthy of all exhortation, all praise, all thanksgiving. We're thankful for the songs that we sang this morning that praise thy name. Thank you, Father, for everything that we have. Just be with us this morning, Father. Just help these feeble thoughts that I have to come forth in a way that would bring thee glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I don't know how it is for all the rest of you. I would assume it would be the same, but as we're met with situations in life and different things come our way, we have choices to make and decisions, and we have responses that we can give where either it would be the response that might be the hard thing to say, or it might be the response that would maybe make men a little more easier about things. So the question that has come to my mind over the last little while is, am I pleasing man or God? You know, are we living our lives in a way, are the words that come out of our mouth, the responses that we give, the situations that we come across, are we just giving, are we bent to please God no matter how the response falls, whether it's favorable to somebody or not? Or are we trying to smooth things over in a way that man will be pleased? It's interesting, I was met with another situation yesterday. I'm sure we have them daily, but I have a couple of dear employees. I'm thankful to have them. They wanted to bring their vehicle into the shop and work on it yesterday, and they had it all tore apart, and there was a couple of parts they couldn't get to put it back together. And I've told them at the beginning of working for me that I don't allow anyone to work in the facility on Sunday. I believe that's a time that we need to dedicate to God. But they couldn't get the part, and so they asked me, would you make an exception? And you know, you want to kind of please them. You know, you want to be like, well, yeah, I understand you don't want the vehicle on the lift for Monday when we have to work, and that. Yeah, you need to get it off, and you can't get the parts today, but you can get them tomorrow. And you know, you're faced with situations like that, different ones. And it can be small. It can be small things. It can be big things. I didn't know how to respond to them. I just kind of left it go. We enjoyed an evening with the family yesterday, so I didn't respond to them. And we stopped in there on our way home, and I didn't respond to them, but I stopped in there, and they were both there, still working on it in the wee hours. And they had went all the way down to Muncie to get the parts because they didn't want it to still be there on Sunday, because they knew what I had told them before. But it would have been pretty easy for me to say, yeah, I can make an exception, but would that have been pleasing men or God? And that's where my heart is this morning. You know, even here in the service and thinking about it, I could, you know, try to do some things that would maybe seem pleasing to the congregation here, and I don't think that's what God wants. God wants us to just serve Him, to speak the truth in love, and just whatever we do, just to give, to please Him, to praise Him. And I have a lot of scriptures this morning. I don't know if that I'll say a whole lot other than just reading scriptures. But I had to think of Jesus and His life, and we'll read some scriptures and what He said in regards to that. We'll look at some examples of some individuals in the Bible. But that's where my heart is. And I first want to say, Hebrews 11, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him." So we know that first off, we have to have faith. We have to have faith in God. We have to have faith in His promises. We have to have faith in Jesus and what He did for us. We have that faith and we come before Him and He transforms our life. He gives us the power to please Him in all that we do, no matter what we face, no matter what challenges come our way. So the first scripture I want to look at is John chapter 5. John chapter 5, and I want to start reading in verse 41, just a few verses here. John chapter 5, verse 41, it says, "I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name and receive, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" So Jesus, He lived His life here not to please men. He didn't want honor of men. He didn't want to be pleased of men. And we see that all the way through His life up to His death. At the end, who stood with Him? You know. But He still did the will of the Father through it all. Another scripture that came to my mind was John 8, just a couple of verses here. John 8, verse 28 and 29. John 8, verse 28, it says, "Then Jesus said unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him." May that be the desire in our hearts, to always do those things that please Him, no matter what. So, just some warnings and encouragements. I'm going to keep going through some of the scriptures here. I might go through some of these fairly fast. But just some warnings, some encouragements, that no matter what we're facing in life, no matter what comes our way, you know, we may be even just a child today in sitting here. We may be a young child that's sitting here in the congregation. You know, we may be under peer pressure to want to please our friends. You know, they might want to go out and play, but mom and dad wants us to go do something. And we have a choice. Do we want to honor God? You know, children, be obedient to your own parents as is fit in the Lord. You know, or whether you're a mom at home that's wanting to, you know, you're trying to teach and raise children, you could do the thing that would be the easy thing for the child, maybe just give them what they want or whatever, but does God want to receive honor from trying to teach and train them to deny themselves or to be obedient? Brothers, we probably meet this every day. You know, I just think of different ones that come into the shop there. I've had different ones come in and talk about how they're, you know, thinking about getting a divorce or whatever it is. And they tell you about their terrible situation. And, you know, you might be a really good customer. Oh, we want to be careful what we say to them because, you know, we want them to come back. We don't want to say anything that might be abrasive. But that's not what God wants us to do. Not that we come out and we're, you know, just really hard and try to just make sure they understand what the Word says, but to, in love, just speak those things that might not be real favorable to what they want to hear. Had those situations. And God help us in those. Thankful. In those situations, you know, God is there. He's there to give us the words to speak, and it's our choice whether we want to please Him or whether we want to kind of please ourselves or men. So, next scripture that came to my mind was in John 12, verse 42. Like I said, you can turn to these if you want. I might go through some of these fairly quickly here. I don't want to take too much time. John 12, verse 42 says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him," Jesus. Wow, you know, chief rulers. Many believed on him out of the chief rulers. "But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Lord, help us. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." So we see another example here of Jesus where, you know, all these individuals, they were looking for an earthly king to come and set up his kingdom here on earth and fulfill the old law. And, you know, even though that's what a number of them wanted, Jesus still did the will of God. You know, I think of the temptations that Satan brought to Jesus, and, you know, it seems strange that Satan would try to even come and tempt Jesus, but he did. And, you know, he could have had the praise of men here. And we see that everyone rejected him all the way to the end. I'm just going to go through just a few more here really quick. John 7:7, "The world cannot hate you, but it hateth, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil." John 15:18, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." We see Matthew 10:22, Mark 13:13, Luke 21:17. Those scriptures are almost identical. It's the words of Jesus where he said, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." Luke 11, we have a word from Jesus there about when you go out and you talk to individuals about the gospel, about the word of God. You know, he said there, "And whatsoever city ye enter, if they receive your word," just, you know, basically keep preaching to them and evangelizing to them. "But if they reject you, you know, go out." And so it gives the picture that, you know, there's going to be things that have to be said sometimes that are hard. There's going to have to be decisions that are made that are going to be taking a stand for God and for Christ. And it's okay. It's okay if men aren't pleased with that. If men reject that, it's okay. We know that we have God and He wants to use us for His use and purpose. So we can look at the New Testament church. These are probably more, I'm going to go to Galatians 1, chapter 6, read a few verses there. This is examples in the New Testament church. A lot of these probably apply to our ministers and elders making decisions in the church, or brothers supporting them in that. But we each have a ministry in our own little corner where we're at, so these things really can apply to every single one of us. Galatians 1, 6 through 10. It says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him which called you unto the grace of God unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as he said before, so say I now, if any man preach another gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of God." So some warning there, given there that we, the things that we say, the decisions we make, that they would please God. The next one is 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 1 through 8. This is Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians. It says in chapter 2, verse 1, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi." You know, why were they shamefully entreated at Philippi? You know, there's clearly they were saying some things that probably didn't go over real well. So they're shamefully entreated. That's okay. That's all right. "We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." Now, you know, we want to be careful. We don't want to start talking to people and try to make this thing contentious. And it'll talk about that here later on. But are we willing to take a stand and just, you know, say what the scriptures say? I think of all the churches out there in the world today and in our nation, you know, they want to preach tolerance and love. And God is love. We sang so many songs this morning about God's love, and I was so blessed by that. He is love, but the love that the world talks about is this tolerance, this not the love of God. You know, the love of God is going to say, you know, if you love this person, if you love this individual, if you love God, out of love for God and out of love for this person, you're going to say what God wants you to say. You're going to say what's in His Word. You're going to say that. And you're going to say it in love, but there's going to be some that reject. "For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us." So we have an example there in teaching how we are to please God in sharing with others in these situations that come. You know, in love and endearing, as a nurse cherisheth her child. Just one last scripture here is 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." You know, it goes on here, I think it's down at verse 10. "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia." So we see that these individuals here, unfortunately, they love the present world. You know, they wanted to please themselves, they wanted to please the world, and they forsook God. And you know, I had to think, this doesn't have to be some sort of big drastic thing that happens in our lives. Some examples of some individuals that I thought of in the scriptures, that it seems like maybe we're trying to please men instead of God. I had to think of Martha when she asked Jesus to come into her house there. You know, she was cumbered about with much serving instead of doing what was the better part of kneeling at the feet of Jesus and serving Him. You know, that wasn't necessarily a bad thing that she was wanting to serve other people in her house, but what was needful at that time, or what should she have been doing at that time? I don't know, my mind went to Simon the Sorcerer. He wanted to have this power of instilling individuals with the Holy Ghost. And he wanted it so bad he thought maybe he could buy it somehow. And he got sharp rebuke for that. And we don't see later on in the scriptures where what his end was. The whole church of Corinth, they were puffed up because they were harboring this one that was in fornication. And they were puffed up by it. And, we see that. I mentioned it earlier, but we see that in what they would call mainstream Christianity today, where tolerance, to the point where it doesn't, they're going all the way down the road of genders and all these things. As the world presses in, brethren, let's not be afraid to just take a stand for the truth of God. That's what Jesus died on the cross for us for that. And praise be to God that He gives us His grace, that we can stand firm unto the end. He that endureth to the end, as we read up here, the same shall be saved. So, I was also looking in I just thought of the scriptures in our cell group this last week. The brother that led out, we went through Hebrews 11 there, and we went through all the different individuals and asked the children, what can you tell us about each individual? And I had to think of that. That was just a rich blessing. But I thought of all these individuals throughout the whole entire scripture. You go from the front to the back, and I'll just to pick out a few, like Noah. God was going to destroy the whole entire world. But Noah found grace in his sight. And then as he's building this ark for, he's cutting all this wood, building this ark on an area that I seemingly never saw water before. There's all these people that are mocking him. They're coming to him and, you're crazy. You're a fool for doing this. But his heart was to do the will of God. It was to please God, not to please the people. He found grace in God's sight because of that. And because of Noah, the whole world, mankind continues on. And tremendous. Moses. He could have pleased his adopted family there. He could have been a prince in Egypt, royal blood, so to speak. But he didn't. He went out and he pleased God. He even stood up against, his own people at times. They wanted to come and overthrow his leadership. He came down from the mountain when they're worshiping the golden calf, and he just spoke what God told him to speak to those people in those situations. Jeremiah, the warnings that he gave there in the scriptures, not nice warnings. They weren't very nice. David, he could have killed Saul, but he chose to do the Lord. He chose to please God. He could have taken that kingdom from Saul way earlier. Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing up there before that idol. Well, we can kneel down and pray to God. We don't have to necessarily be praying to this idol. No, they stood for the truth. They stood to please God. And, Apostle Paul, think of Stephen there. Just want to give encouragement. This is maybe more for me than anyone. I know just for myself, just meet situations where it's like you can just maybe, kind of tiptoe around a little bit with an individual. And maybe not just in love, just come out and just be real transparent. This is what God's Word says. So just some encouragement for all of us. I was really blessed by the hymn Brother Andy called off, 394, as I was thinking about this morning. I was really blessed by all the singing. Thank you all for contributing. It just asked the question, how firm a foundation, he's saying to the Lord. Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed. I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand. Why do we need to be upheld? Well, there's things in life that come our way. And we're met with situations and circumstances. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall go, my grace all sufficient shall... Did I read that right? Yeah. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. So God bless each of you this morning. Those are a few thoughts that I had on my heart. Some things I've been thinking about here over the last little while. And I hope in some way the Lord can use that to bless you in your lives so that going forward in the time to come, whatever situations we're met with in this life, whatever station we're in, that we'll just set our affection on things above. We'll set to please the Lord and not just be set to please men or make sure that our own reputation here on earth is maybe up to snuff with what everybody else wants. But let's just work and labor for the Lord. Let's be mindful of Him. And God bless each of you for being here and listening today.